Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Did you follow my lead and opt for the box coffee?
Ooh. I didn't even realize. I saw that earlier. I didn't even think about it. I went out there. The pot on the machine was empty, and I just made a new pot.
So you did.
My cup's empty. I'm going to go get some during the first break.
I went for the box coffee.
Yeah, like 5 to 3, you walked in here with a cup of coffee, and I went, coffee would be good. I should get some coffee.
Well, there is a box of coffee out there that must have been brought in this morning from an outside establishment.
Yes.
A coffee establishment.
Mm-hmm.
This place is known for like two things almost equally, and one of those things is coffee.
Okay, right.
The other of those things is in the name of the place. And so there's a box of this coffee out there, and I went for it.
Yeah.
With coffee, I will even drink it the next day.
You will go, yeah, you have no real discerning taste when it comes to coffee.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, you're...
Is that what it is?
You're... Well, I'm...
Bad taste?
To say that really would imply that you can't appreciate a good cup of coffee, which I would expect that you can, but you have no real bottom. If you're drinking day-old coffee or even hours-old coffee, I don't know, man. Like there was some coffee left in the pot out there, but it did not... It just had a real gravy-ish sort of consistency, and it didn't smell real good, so I dumped it.
How does it change?
It just gets sort of like burned. Like not it's not actually sizzling, but it just sits too long and it just is it's got a overcooked sort of burned taste to it. Do you know what happens to a pot of coffee that's left on the burner out there when there's not even a cup of coffee left in the pot, but somebody leaves it? And this happens during our shift because we're here until 7 and you know, so the office clears out, and if that pot is left unattended just sitting there, it'll burn right to the bottom of the... If there's only a little bit of coffee left in the pot, it'll burn right to the pot.
Does this hold water?
And then you got to scrub it out. So what happens to coffee, however much is in there, as it sits there, like that is starting to happen to some of the coffee. So if it's there for too long, I can't do it, man. It doesn't work. Especially if you drink it black. I think if you treat it with stuff, you can get away with it maybe a little better. But
I hope you don't take this personally, but you have already said that I have no taste for this, and you've had a run of errors this week. Does this hold water scientifically? Like, how is coffee changing in a day? It's water. Coffee is water run through beans and grounds. Grounds or grind, whatever, grounds. It's water with a smell and a color.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it changes in a day.
I really like Bulldog's last point there. I agree with that. Like, black coffee, you will notice the difference if it's been sitting out. But like,
but
if
what
I,
is the difference?
If I'm putting creamer in it or something, then just, I won't notice.
It just tastes burned. It just tastes like it's been sitting out on a burner for too long is really all there is to it.
Okay, now, maybe there's a thing here where you're talking about this coffee out here that does actually sit on a burner.
Right.
So it's still there's still something happening to it chemically.
Right. What's the box coffee is not on a burner.
No, that nor is the coffee
a
that
very bad idea.
I am making at home in a French press on a Saturday morning. That what often happens to me, like I never finish the cup.
Yeah.
No matter how much I'm drinking, I will always be done with it before I'm done with it. So not rarely will I put like the end of the coffee in the microwave and then forget that I've done that. And the next day, I will go to use the microwave and yesterday's coffee will be in there.
And when you do that and you heat it up, it tastes the same to you as the coffee that you make fresh?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. That's why I would say you have no taste.
Well, I'm not telling you that that's wrong yet. Like, there are things where I think I have a good palate, and maybe coffee is not one of them, but I don't know what coffee is for that area. Like, how... I mean, obviously, people spend a lot of money on it, and I drink coffee most days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a nobody in this, but I don't know that I can tell a difference the next day.
Yeah.
I don't really know how. I don't know that I can, and I don't know why it would be different if it's been sitting in that container for a day at room temperature.
I think the answer to why it would be different lies in the freshness of the liquid going over the beans. And that liquid is it's right out of the beans and it's fresh and it's good right then. And then it starts losing some of its initial flavor and its freshness. It just sits. It sort of gets stale.
What about water? So do you ever pour a cup of water or a glass of water and then you don't finish it? And the next day and wherever it was in your house that you were... It was unusual. You were in that spot of your house drinking the water. You put the water down. You left it there. And then the next day, it's there.
Does it taste the same?
Yeah. Like, do you dump that out or do you drink that?
I dump that out.
I don't.
Not for taste, though. I'm dumping it more so...
Temperature.
And also, like, you're just leaving more and more opportunities for stuff to get in there. Just not even going to bother.
See, I immediately think about people who don't have enough water. And I will drink it.
No.
I immediately feel like, you know, somebody, I can't just dump that out because that could have been somebody else's water and they need it to live. So I cannot just dump it out.
See, I think not only are you losing out on that original fresh flavor of the coffee when it's sitting out, but you're losing the aroma. Like that smell when it's first, like that fresh brew.
Yeah, we like
first
that
comes
smell.
Out. Like that goes stale too. Like that goes away.
Yeah,
that takes
for
away
sure.
from it as well.
Yeah, if I make... My wife usually gets stuck on this end more than I do because I'm usually up before her because she works just erratic hours. And when she doesn't have to go to work at 6 in the morning, she will sleep past me and I get up and take Leo to school. So I make coffee. And occasionally, though, this will happen where on a Saturday she'll make coffee and I sleep in and it's 8:30 before I get up. So the coffee's been sitting there. Or even it's just sitting in the pot. It's not even on the burner anymore, and you got to microwave it.
Yeah, microwave it.
There is
that's what I do.
There is absolutely no way you could convince me that the coffee does not smell different after it's been sitting. You microwave it. I'll do it because I don't want to. You know, I'm not thinking about anyone starving. But it's a whole pot of coffee. I'm not going to dump it out and start over because I want the fresh coffee. But I know I'm settling for it.
The microwave will change it somehow. Probably. And I'm only drinking it like this. I reheated it.
Right.
The microwave will change it. Yeah. You're talking about the burner.
There's a reason
the
why.
Burner
yeah, the burner
keeps it warm.
The burner is a big part of it. Like really.
Interesting.
I don't know if you've ever noticed. Like I think I had to show you how to make the coffee on that machine.
Yeah. Well, no. Within the last I'm sure
year,
you did.
So I don't think you have a lot. You of
might
experience
show me next
machine.
Time too.
Right. Right. Well, when a pot of coffee is left long enough out there. And there's not enough in there that it starts that burning process, you can smell it through the whole place. Like, if I walk out there and smell that, even if I haven't been responsible for the coffee, I will just turn the machine off, get that pot out of there, and rinse it out. Because it stinks. And that's only a few hours. Like, that could be, 3, 4, 5 hours maybe the coffee's been sitting there, and it just gets nasty. Like, if I drink, I'm not going to because I don't think drinking an entire pot of coffee or close to it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon is going to be something I want to do today. But if I were to drink most of this pot of coffee and leave just a little bit in there, by the time we get done today, it would smell bad out there. That coffee would start to burn in that pot and it would be a bad scene.
text line's starting to get pretty sciencey. Terms like oxidation are being thrown around. One reason I think this makes sense, as it sits out on the burner, the water evaporates, and then the tiny bean particles are left, so it's thickening up the liquid.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Okay.
It definitely seems to have a thicker consistency, and that's where this burning to the bottom of the pot ends up coming from, if there's not enough in there to, you know, withstand that.
What about the evaporation, like the rate of evaporation, considering that the temperature is close to room temperature? But it's, I guess it's hot in the first place, which you want to, all right, that makes sense. I think that, look, if somebody's texting in that point, that'd better be right. I don't even want to have to be in judgment of it. That just needs to be right. Okay? In other news, and this is like with Easter on Sunday, this is perfectly appropriate. The DJ Anthony, the gift of DJ Anthony, walked by yesterday. And he is as giving and friendly as ever.
Oh, it's, yeah.
This guy, this is a beautiful guy, DJ Anthony from Kiss.
He gave us all Easter eggs yesterday.
Yeah, and he loves doing it.
Yes.
So this is the third year of the DJ Anthony Bills action. And for the first 2 years, was it just you the first year?
The first year it was just me.
And you lost.
And I lost. I lost.
The bet was, and did he offer it or did you, what happened?
No, he definitely.
He walked up to you.
Just like yesterday happened for you, I walked through the kitchen area where the coffee is. We're back out to the little bistro area of our shop. And he just said, you know, it was July or August, Bills make the playoffs, $50. And I went, sure. And that was it.
Two years ago.
That was our bet 2 years ago, and they made the playoffs.
And they did.
Yeah.
That's right. You were one play away from winning.
Right.
But you were happy to lose, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah.
So DJ Anthony walks around. He's like, $50. They make the playoffs, and they do, and you owe him $50. Last year, how did it start?
I think, you know, you felt some regret that you didn't get in on it the first year.
Yes.
As the year was unfolding, but then in the end, of course, you know, you would have lost too. I'm pretty sure he came in here and asked me if I wanted to do it again, and you said, I want in too, and he said, sure. I think he came in the studio.
And then Joe got in on it.
Right.
So all three of us had $50 bets with him that the Bills would not make the playoffs, and his bet was that they would, and they didn't. We all got $50 from him.
Right.
And so yesterday, usually like late in the day is when he comes in for his shift. So we see him sometimes late in the day. Yesterday, he's out there. And he's like, listen, Mike, this year, $50, all three of you, that they win the division. I said, well, I'm in. And I'll tell you right now, if those guys are in, I'll just take their action. Right? So another guy from sales overheard him and walked toward us and had his arms all the way out. Like, who wouldn't take that bet? Right? Like, right. That was the bet.
Right.
So, but he is like the nicest guy. And I don't know if he just bets everybody $50 on crazy optimistic things, but here it was. And, you know, it was his proposal. Right. I have no problem saying yes to it. You know, and I will have no problem paying him. The thing of it is, they are 8-1 to do it. And we don't have to pay him 8-1.
He didn't ask for any odds.
No, he didn't ask for... He never asks for odds, it appears. No. He never asks for odds. I think I might give him 2-1 just because if they win the AFC East. Well, I feel like I might just want... Are you ever in a fantasy trade?
This feels now like the Jason Alexander, Larry David open that Joe plays about the tipping. Because if you're going to do that, now Joe and I are going to feel some compulsion to do it
also. Maybe. Well, that's... You know, I'm sorry about that. I was in a fantasy football thing like 2 years ago, 2017, this was. And I had an idea for a trade. I like to do that with my fantasy. Just think about like where can I find a trade. I made one last night in baseball. I love that about fantasy. So I had this idea for a trade, and I went to the guy. It was I might as well just say it was for Julio Jones. Julio Jones had just had a bad game, and I thought, well, like that's when you want to try to if you think the guy is still valuable, and maybe his owner is down on him, right? Like, I can't believe this guy's not
better.
Yeah,
now's the time to go get him.
Yeah. Now's the time. So I reached out to that guy, like, would you trade Julio Jones? And he's like, yes, immediately, like within a minute, yes. So now I'm like, okay, well, that's, I'm almost all the way there already. Because he wants, I know now he wants to get rid of Julio Jones. So I will come up with something. And I made an offer. What happened? Eventually it came to him making an offer to me that was super good for me. And I changed it to make it worse for me. Because I did not want it to look so bad.
Right.
So, or I just thought other people in the league would be like, what is this?
Right.
Right? And that's not worth it.
Uh-huh.
So this is what,
right.
That's what this reminds me of.
You don't want to rip somebody off so badly in a trade.
No.
That, you know, the rest of the league is wondering if you guys are colluding. B, you just, the guy's never going to want to deal with you again.
Yeah. I don't want, everybody in the league might not want to deal with me after that.
Right.
Who knows? Like, you just, I'm in a lot of leagues and I don't know everybody in the league. So you don't want to have a bad reputation, even if it's not for anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I remember I threw in a good player to that trade to make it look better. It was still what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
And so if the Bills win the AFC East, I'm totally giving him $100. The odds are 8-1. If you go to Bet Online right now, you would get $400 for that 50.
Right.
Which, by the way, maybe I should just bet that. Because this way, I don't have to like root against them if they're having a really good year. And I don't know if I would anyway for $50, but
right.
I don't want to be tempted to do that.
Or 100.
If they actually have a chance to win the division.
You want to be full in on that and not be conflicted by a bet?
If I have a $50 bet, I'd bet online for the Bills to win the AFC East. The best case scenario for me is plus 400. The worst case for me is zero.
Right.
Unless I pay him extra. It would be zero. Like, I'm just basically, I'm taking that money and I'm putting it in here to try to make a lot more out of it. Maybe that's what I'll do.
I think we should all do that.
Wait, want to all do that?
we should. Joe, don't you think? I mean, it almost feels like it would be irresponsible to not do that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I had not thought about that for a second, but now I love it.
And then if they do it, I'll just give like I'll give half to charity.
It seems like we
now you have to do that.
We wow, look at what is happening in here.
DJ Anthony can pick the charity.
You're worried about waterless children across the world when it comes to coffee or water left in your house, and now we're donating gambling winnings to charity.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Well, I'm not, this just all comes naturally to me.
Yes.
So let's do that. Now, what are the chances of it actually happening?
About 8-1.
Right.
feels like 80-1.
It feels like worse than 8. Right. I want more.
Yeah, right.
Miami is 25-1.
Right.
Is it really more than 3 times less likely that the Dolphins win the AFC East than the Bills do? Like, are the Bills going to be that much better than the Dolphins? I don't know. People were telling me that last year. I'm like, no. And I bet Miami last year, and I got lucky. They don't have a good team, but they had some lucky wins. So that worked out. Well, okay. I mean, 8-1, it doesn't sound like some horse at the Kentucky Derby that's 8-1 will win it and be like, yeah, that's a great horse. You know, like Hank Goldberg, if he's still alive, will pick that horse to win it.
Right.
Hank's Bank. And
right. 8-1 in a horse
Ed
race.
Olchek.
That horse is probably the third best odds.
Right. Like that's right.
It's almost a favorite.
It's one of the favorites.
Yeah, right. One of the favorites.
In the AFC East, it's not one of the favorites.
No.
Still the third best odds, probably.
It is the third best odds. The Jets are 6-1, and New England is 1-4. You have to bet $400 to win $100 on them to win the AFC East for the 11th
someone
year in a row.
Someone has to do something about this.
Yes, that's
like
right.
Someone will
do something?
They need someone to do something about the Patriots.
We are just like these
I mean, I don't know. Get
these
creative.
Terrible movie villains cannot figure anything out.
Isn't there some drug you can slip them? Just something. Can we do baseball bats to the knees? I mean, come on!
We are Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor, where we just are. We've got a big house, but we cannot figure out what to do.
I don't even want it to be
just terrible.
I don't even need it to be clean. The person who does it, go and get caught and just stand there and go, yeah, look, I'm sick of these guys. All right, so yeah, I just ran over. I ran over Brady. Yep, I did it. Come get me. And then we'd start a fund to get the guy out of jail. Like, it would just be a whole thing. we'd be all conflicted about whether or not morally we should be doing that, and like it's only sports. I haven't even had any coffee.
No, you didn't even.
I didn't even get the there coffee yet, and I'm already a runaway train of unprovoked violence against football players. Holy cow! Today's going
to
be a day.
Somebody has to do something, though.
Somebody's
going to
do something. None of the stuff I just said. Don't do any of that.
Who was going to do it?
That would be bad. I wouldn't want that on my conscience. Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be something if we all had to pay DJ Anthony for that bet? Wouldn't that be something? It'd be the best $50 or $100, whatever we spent in a while, I think. That's how that would feel.
Yep. Well, it should be possible, you know, like yesterday. It should be possible. You should not think your team winning the division in a league where the divisions have four teams is impossible.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It should be possible. They have not come close to doing that for as long as it's been since they won it. When did they last win the division? 95.
Yeah.
Right. 99, they were 11-5 maybe, but they did not win the division. Does that sound right?
Yes.
So 95 is the last time they won it. Have they, since 99, since the drought started, have they ever come close? How often have they come close? 2002, 9-7 maybe won it. It was like that. So there was a year, that's so long ago anyway, but they've really not come close to winning the division in many years. I would guess that they have not come within three games of the division since.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
2004.
02, they were, well, 02, yeah. 04, they were playing for a wild card, but they weren't close to the division in 04. That's the Pittsburgh year, right? The year they lose to the Steelers. So I'm for some reason, when you said 02, I was thinking of that as that year.
So it's probably at least 15 years since they've come within three games.
Yeah.
Oof. Well, someday. You gotta love DJ Anthony. Like that guy, just he must just really love them. He loves them to the point where, like, betting—that's like kind of real money. Betting on them like that is just like he seems very natural at it. He seems very comfortable doing that. He's looking for that action.
I don't know that we ever have gotten to the bottom of just how many people he makes that bet with. But I mean, just the three of us alone. You're right. I mean, that's $150.
I am totally donating that money. I mean, it just feels wrong. It's funny. I like the best thing about it is that we can talk about it. I like having it on the board over there, and then we talk about it. It's the guy that works here.
I like having him as like a recurring character on the show very much.
Yeah,
like
was elite.
Yeah, yeah.
The draft is next weekend. 803-0550 is our number. What do we want? I wanted to talk to Sigmund Bloom today. He's going to be on Monday, unavailable today. A lot of people have this, like all the different mock drafts and everything. His was of interest to me because it's fantasy-minded, and it's like what will happen after the real draft is fantasy guys will – I should wait to lay this out. Fantasy guys will, like, you know, are already telling you to some extent which players are right for which teams. You know, that's what I wanted to sort of – work with him on, and that'll be next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to kind of do this to some extent here because I want to be able to root for some outcome next week. And the linemen are just not going to really matter to me that much.
Right.
Like, whatever they do, defensive line, offensive line in the first round, if that's what it is, you know, to me, for the most part, to me, like, those are all the same idea. But fantasy-wise, like what happens to the top running backs and receivers, and the tight ends are interesting here,
yeah.
And the quarterbacks after Murray.
I'm starting to crush on a guy. I don't know that I used to get a guy every year that I really wanted, whether it was the first pick or not, and this guy definitely isn't first pick worthy, but I've got a guy. It doesn't take much. You hear one guy whose opinion you respect. In this case, it would be Greg Cosell talking about a guy, and then you look up a couple of things on him and then go like, okay, yeah, you know what, I'm in.
All right, let's talk about that after the break. 803-0550 on the draft. Sal Capaccio joins us at 4 today. We'll talk about this thing with the Raiders, too. Stay tuned if you missed that. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR.
Josh Oliver is another guy who's a solid prospect. He's very smooth. I think if he's a good kid and he takes to coaching with experience, he could develop into what we would call a tight end one. But the guy I just want to mention who I think is the second best tight end prospect in this draft is Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M. When I watched him, he reminded me of Travis Kelce. I think he's just scratching the surface of his ability. I think he fits today's NFL game really, really well.
This is the guy you like?
That's my guy.
Who is he again?
Jace Sternberger.
Jace is one of those names. My kids have friends named Jace.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't have any Jace experience.
Sounds like you want some.
This would be my first Jace. I'm whatever, man. I'm into him. Greg talked a lot more, I think, about him. Maybe not. That might have been the entirety of what he had to say about the Texas A&M tight end. But I liked it, and then I saw he works on that ESPN NFL matchup show with Matt Bowen, who used to play for the Bills for a bit. And Matt Bowen tweeted out a highlight reel of Sternberger, I think narrated by Greg, sort of breaking down his tape for like a minute or 2 minutes. I just retweeted it. And Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus hopped on that too. And so it came across my feed because I don't follow Matt Bowen that I know of. And I was like, okay, great. I'm in. Bring him to me. How soon do I have to do that? I mean, I don't know. He's rated somewhere in the high 60s as far as overall prospects go. You know, Gosell there is calling him the second best tight end. CBS Sports has him as the fourth rated tight end. So, I mean, I don't know how high you'd have to get him. Maybe the Bills at 40 are too high. He'd be more of a late second, early third. And I don't know, maybe if you can get him in the third, you jump on it. But maybe you lose out. I don't know. But I'm into it. He's big, and just look, watching him move around the field, I get why Cosell would go to the Kelce card. He just looked fluid in that way, similar size, just looked like a nice looking player. So I ought to be
thinking about the tight ends more. I mean, really, the Bills have not had a really good tight end since when? Like, Is Metzelaars the closest guy between him and now to like someone in the top 10 in the league even? I mean, am I forgetting somebody? Late 90s, 2000s, Mark Campbell was okay. Chandler was okay.
Riemersma was okay.
Clay is okay.
Right.
Was. I mean, not great.
Yeah.
But who's the last Bills tight end that was really good? I mean, even Metzelaars was like, I don't know, is Metzelaars good on a different team?
No.
I mean, the Bills had so much going on.
No, he wasn't a real threat, really. Like really, the position has evolved, really, since he was playing.
It's too long ago to even matter. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, it's just a very different, you know, the guys that run like the guys run now, there weren't really any of those in the early 90s. You get to like Shannon Sharp, and it's a game changer at the position, and then here comes Gonzalez, and it's a whole different
Gates.
Thing. Gates, right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But before Gronkowski. before those guys, there really wasn't a game-breaking tight. Dave Kasper was great, but he was not as much of a threat as these guys are now.
Yeah, I wonder how many passes he caught in like 10 years or whatever it is he played.
Maybe 40 a year.
Maybe, yeah. It might be about right. This guy, not this guy, Jace, but like a top guy, like a Kittle or somebody. I was looking at Kittle today from the 49ers. Last year he had 1,300 some receiving yards on a team that lost its quarterback early in the season.
Nice.
1,300 yards. You know, and who's he, right? He was not a first-round pick.
Right.
Same school.
I literally had never heard of him before he started making plays, and you guys were talking to him. I'm like, I didn't know who George Kittle is.
Same school as the two tight ends at the top of most lists this year.
Oh, Iowa guy? Yeah.
Iowa. Hawkinson and Noah Fant. Is it Font or Fant? It's spelled F-A-N-T. Those two guys are like the top two guys, or at least Hawkinson is number one. But I think I've learned something about these guys, and that's that Hawkinson is like more the blocker, but he can also catch it, and he comes out as like a top 10 prospect here, so he's got to be well-rounded. speaking of Sigmund Bloom and the fantasy stuff, like Sigmund Bloom likes Noah Fant more for fantasy production because he's more just the pass catcher.
Right. He's not as well-rounded, but he might be the better player to like run down the seam and hurt you. And so, yeah. And I don't know. I like this Sternberg. I don't know. A part of me like settling on him as someone to like is I'm admitting at the outset here, thinking about a late second if they can get another pick somehow, or, you know, a way to do that is to trade down in the first round. I think that's pretty, that's an idea, right? So late second, early third is I just can't really get my head around the Bills being a team. As much as they want to surround Allen with talented playmakers, skill position guys, I really feel like it would be shocking if they took a tight end at nine. I just can't imagine them valuing that position enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of whether they like the guys that are available there. I can't imagine them valuing the position so highly that they would take a tight end at nine. I mean, I could be wrong on that. It would really surprise me. So, well, I'm thinking they'll need a guy later, and this guy isn't exactly later. He's, you know, day two of the draft.
Yeah. What I'm about to offer on this, I don't think I'd want to have anybody take seriously. But I would say about the Bills and the ninth pick, if it ends up being the ninth pick, you know, that's where they're standing now. Like yesterday, we had a conversation about this. We'll have a lot more of these. This year is important. Last year, most fans gave them a pass. Okay, rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, at first, it ended up being Nathan Peterman. But, I mean, that was egregious. They got lucky that Peterman was so terrible they could not possibly leave him on the field. So, anyway, the point isn't about him. The point is that most people gave them a pass for last year. They made the playoffs the year before. And, you know, if you want to go pick a quarterback in the first round, which most fans supported, then no one at the same time is going to expect you to win right away. So they didn't. Now, third year for this coach, second year for this quarterback, second year for this GM, it's not like the extreme year for a team on the other end where it's like you can't possibly afford to lose again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's closer to that than it was than the, where they were last year.
For sure.
Like, it's important. So if you felt that way, and this is like where I don't want you to take it seriously, because for all I know, Sean McDermott would look at this like in all kinds of other ways. But in a certain sense, him and this moment, who is the player in the draft that can do the most for me right now? You're drafting Josh Allen for the forever. Now you're drafting for who is the best guy for my team right now? If you draft a defensive lineman or perhaps a linebacker, an offensive tackle, those are the positions where the guy's going right into your starting lineup, mm-hmm. and you are hoping that that's like a royal flush, that whoever that player is, an edge rusher, you know, the guy, the defensive tackle from Alabama, is it Williams?
Quinnen Williams, yeah.
Ed Oliver, these guys, you want to put them in your lineup, and you want them to dominate Khalil Mack level. Hopefully, and you're just that much tougher to beat.
You're hoping you got a guy that's like a candidate for defensive rookie of the year.
Maybe.
Like that's pretty lofty, but maybe that's you're hoping for that.
Yeah, you're going to give yourself that opportunity because you're going to draft an elite talent at defensive end or defensive tackle, and he's going to play. Right, he's going to play. So you like your defense, you want to add that to it, and you wonder if you might just be damn good. That's what, like you said, when did you stop talking? You said, I don't know if they would do that with tight end.
Yeah, right.
This is a reason why they wouldn't.
Right.
Like this is our identity. This is our recipe, those kinds of things. And this guy can elevate us. And he's out there. We're picking ninth. Like that. Right. This is available to us. People mm-hmm. think those options in this draft are worthy, right? So that's what you do.
Yep. And you might... You know, you can do this all through the draft, but the way I think you have to do it is you have to try to evaluate as best you can how much better is that defensive tackle or edge guy than the defensive tackle or edge guy that I can get at 40 or in round 3 if I go tight end at 9. And, you know, the opposite of that is also true. Like, how much better is TJ Hockenson or Noah Fant than Jay Sternberger? You know, like, you really got to, like, dive into that and figure that out and decide whether or not the separation, like, where's the bigger gap? Like, wherever the bigger gap is where you go at 9, maybe. At least it's one thing that would contribute to it, you know? If I think the guy with the heart problem that Joe mentioned in the update, at 9, he's that much better than the 5th or 6th edge guy on the list, well, then I damn well better do that. And I'll figure out, you know, the gap on the tight ends maybe isn't as big. So just got to, like, try to sort through all that. So I'm sort of settling on this Sternberger idea because, it's a realistic hope for tight end, maybe. You know, knowing nothing of what they prefer and what they think of the kid, you know, whatever. Because I just can't imagine them spending the 9th. I almost said blowing. I can't imagine. They might view it as blowing. Spending the 9th pick on a tight end. Mm-hmm, so I got to find a guy later who looks good later. Okay, maybe this guy.
And who knows about a trade down, too. I mean, they've traded a lot in the first round the last couple of years. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think logically there might be that opportunity for them. And then, you know, they did a great job with Tre'Davious White. They traded down, they got a first round pick, and they got a great player anyway, which is yet another example of why trading down is smart. These teams don't know how these players are going to do. So why not add your picks and, you know, you're going to perhaps think you're going to come close with a player the likes of Tre'Davious White. And they did. They were successful. So it's just another example of why that's smart. You trade up, you know, you're just like, uh-oh, it's down to this guy. He better be good. So I'd like to see that. I always would. And I think with the quarterback seen there around their pick, or even another position, even tight end perhaps for some other team, or offensive tackle for some other team, that it might line up. Here's Marty with us. Hello, Marty.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Bulldog. I'm just thinking tight end. I've been thinking tight end for a little while because I don't really see the needle moving and getting a pass rusher or a run stopper is in the win-loss column as much as it'll move if you get an elite-style tight end that can keep the ball and keep drives going. I just don't think an edge rusher today, where teams are getting rid of the ball as fast as they're getting rid of it, is as important as a guy that can open up the middle of the field. Let's just look at the NFC West, and you see the Rams with their high-powered offense, but possibly the best weapon in that whole division is a tight end, Kittle. If you look at the best tight ends in the league over the last decade, they're on the best offenses in the league. You got Gates, you got Gonzalez, who's always in the playoffs when he was good.
Not Kittle.
Gronk. Well,
that's it.
Plus his quarterback.
But yeah, I know, that's right.
That you also had New Orleans with what's his name over there in New Orleans for years. They had a top rated offense. You can't open in the middle of your field without a great tight end. We haven't had one in forever.
Well, look,
the results are there.
Thank you, Marty. I don't totally disagree with that, but look, you can do just the same. You can make just the same argument the other way, and Kittle happens to make the other argument. They weren't a good team. He was outstanding, but the Chiefs were a good team with their tight end, and the Eagles were a good team. They have two guys. Like, so you can always do this. Defensive end, you can find, you know, you want Aaron Donald? How good were the Rams? Like, you can do this every time at every position. And I don't really know if the caller's wrong when he says, I think tight end is more, there's more upside in it for my team if I'm great there. Like, I don't know that I disagree with that. Quarterback is really the one position above all the others
mm-hmm.
for that. So I think I made the point I made about defensive line. You said what you said. I think they could see, or they would be kind of the type to see, look, let me just do one more thing right here, right now.
Right.
And this guy's unbelievable. We're picking in the top 10 for the last time, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then we'll do the rest later. But it's a good argument, you know?
Yeah.
I I'd love to have I'd love to see the Bills have a great tight end. That's a really fun player, a fun position. You know, you're really good there. The Bills have really never been great there. I mean, all the way back, right? Like, they've never had the best tight end in the league or close to it.
No. No.
803-0550, our number. We'll talk to Sal about this in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We did our job tonight, for once. We stuck with it, and guys, you know, all were focused on, you know, taking care of their business, and it's a start. You know, we got to do a job resting now and get ready for, you know, even a better push from them on game six.
Joe Pavelski, the Sharks winners last night, yep. Also the Blues and the Hurricanes.
Put on the list of things I missed this week.
Yeah, you guys were on Vegas, yep, as the guaranteed winner. I was on Carolina, barely. I mean, I didn't,
right,
think it was a bad pick.
Right, you didn't get up on the table and stomp your feet, but you did say you were tempted to think of Carolina that way, and they beat the Capitals.
Yes. Tonight, Toronto and Boston, Game 5, and then Colorado-Calgary, Game 5. James Neal, healthy scratch for Calgary. Here is John with us. Hi, John.
Hi, I just want to say that I love the idea of Hockenson, because I think if I were the Bills, of course they don't think this way, but I would never have a fullback on that roster. If Hockenson is the blocker that everybody is saying he is, but he can catch, if you spread the field with Brown on one side and Foster on the other with Beasley in the slot, they play with the best, maybe the best running quarterback in Shady, nobody is going to be able to play 8 in the box, let alone 7 in the box. And it'll be so hard to game plan against them. And we have to find out if Josh is the real deal or not. Give him the chance, and you're going to have to go through New England, Kansas City, and then probably the Rams or the Saints, at least one of those four, mm-hmm, three of those four, if you ever want to win a Super Bowl. I mean, it makes total sense to me.
I think you make a nice presentation here. You know, it's just what isn't mentioned is defense. And I don't, like, I think way more the way you do than you might realize, or I don't know if you even care. But, yeah, all right. I mean, make the offense as good as you can. I think that's fine. One of the first things you said was, I don't think the Bills think like this, but, right, right, and I would also say that.
Which is what I'm saying when I say that I don't envision them as a team that would invest the 9th pick in the draft on a tight end. I think prior to today, I've said many times, I want them to be a team that would be willing to do that.
I think this caller just talked me into it. I think right now I want that. After listening to that, John, I want that.
I like that the objective of his presentation, the stated goal, is to try to win the Super Bowl.
How about that, too?
Right? Like,
they might not think like that either. Right. I don't know.
You're going to have to deal with these teams, and then once you get there, waiting on the other side is one of these teams. Okay.
I have not really thought about how the Bills would do against New Orleans.
In the Super Bowl.
But I mean, I appreciate the mention of that, the idea of that. Very good. Thank you, John. All right, Sal coming up. Tight end, defensive end, what's better? What should the Bills want if all else is equal? The players are equal, and really, you look at those two positions. It's a pretty good conversation. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.